1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Funny Friday from Claire Morris. Great to be here. We're in Claire Morris in County Mayo. It's great. Someone from Dublin being welcome in Mayo, given that we've deprived you of so much for so long. I want to welcome our Taoiseach here, the Mayor, your fellow Mayo County man. We thought we'd invite the Taoiseach again to Kenny here. You're very welcome to Claire Morris, Taoiseach. So I used to go out with a girl called Claire Morris.
And can I just say how delighted I am to be back in County Mayo. I left here as a humble Moonthorne Ashunta, a primary teacher, and I'm returning as a renowned international statesman. I worked hard to inherit my father's seat. And I've been around the Dáil longer. I think I entered the Dáil the same year Mayo last won an All-Ireland final.
But last year, Taoiseach, a difficult year. I don't need to rehearse all the difficulties, do I? The medical cards, the penalty points, the cronyism. People felt very betrayed by that. The water charges,
Stop going on about it. I'll advise you now, Joe. If you make this interview difficult, I can arrange to have you replaced by Marty Morrissey. Now, I've put an end to all that cronyism. And just to prove the point, today I'm announcing here in Castle.
Claire Morris.
Claire Morris. I'm announcing here in Claire Morris the appointment of Paul Murphy as the new head of Irish Water. He'll take up his appointment. His appointment just as soon as we can drag him down off the gates of Áras an Uachtaráin.
But Taoiseach, I mean, I have already said how much I appreciate you coming on the show, because you don't do a lot of media stuff, do you, in fairness?
Well, so now, Andrew, between now and the next election, I've been a lot more telly. I'll be shortly appearing on an ad for Irish Water. I'll be diving into the devil's hole in Inishmore. In my red Speedos, and I'm advised by Michael Lowry that should set some of the ladies' hearts aflutter. And I'll also be starring in a new reality show in Roscommon General Hospital, Joe.
Yeah, we came by there last night, a great hospital. What's that going to be called?
It's called Off Your Trolley.
Taoiseach.
I
just want to thank your scriptwriter, Taoiseach, for dragging up the oldest gags in the book. But fair play. And I know you're into recycling. Have you been following events in Greece, Taoiseach, and the election of the Chorizo party, and the way the government is now is saying it's going to get a deal on its debts, it's going to stand up to the Germans? I mean, did you call the new Greek Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras?
Siobhan, would you get me Marty Morrissey's phone number there, please? Oh, I called him all right, Joe.
Did you?
I called him all right. In fact, I was the first head of government, Joe, jumping ahead of myself there slightly, the first head of government to call him.
And what did you say?
I said, don't be upsetting Mammy Merkel. And then he had the cheek to ask me, would the Irish people stand with the Greeks in their efforts to get relief from debt?
Well, there's a lot of, what did you say to him?
I recalled the words of the late, great John F. Kennedy. And I said, Alexis, listen carefully. Unlike my normal crack, I'm only going to say this once. Ich bin ein Berliner. Just we Enkele. Now I said, piss off, Alexis, I said. The Greeks, they're party the same as the Paddies. And like Paddy, he all went mad borrowing, so suck it up, I said. The same as Paddy is sucking it up.
But he must have been disappointed by that, was he? Was he
went rabbiting on about the appalling consequences of austerity on the Greek people. And I said, they'd get used to it. The same as Paddy got used to it. Sure, I said, Paddy can't seem to get enough austerity. I told him, We just brought in the water charges. Look what happened.
What happened? Come on, honestly.
We went up 4% in the polls. The Irish people are not enduring austerity. They're enjoying austerity. Look around you, Joe. Look around here today. And where are we again, Joe? Where are we?
Claremorris.
Look around you here today, Joe and Claremorris. I'd say they're thriving on it. Did you ever see such a lean, fit-looking, half-starved bunch in your life, Joe? Who said austerity isn't working? Who said it doesn't have its benefits? No need for any of this crowd to go on Operation Transformation. High five.
Thank Taoiseach is staying with us. Sil Fox is with us. Sil, how are you?
Yes, I'm wonderfully well. I'm delighted to be in Claremorris. I noticed that I went to the town this morning, and they look after the old people here a lot, don't they?
They're very good, yeah. Very good, yeah.
All the shop windows are all bifocal. And I didn't think anybody knew me here, you know, and a fella shows up in the fire. He said, "Hey, Sil, lends €20. I said, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you." "Hey, Sil, lend..." I said, "I can't hear you." The fella beside me says, "I can hear them." I said, "Will you lend it to him?" "Hey, Sil, what would you call a nun who walks in her sleep?" I said, "I don't know. A Roman Catholic." "Hey, Sil, what would you call a woman who knows where her husband is every night?" I said, "I don't know. He's at a widow." And the one, best one of all, said, "Hey, Sil, do you believe in sex outside marriage?" I said, "Of course I do. Where else would you get it?" And we came into the hotel, and there was two fellas in the restaurant. You know what they were doing? Eating their own sandwiches. And the manager came out and said, "Excuse me, sir, you can't eat your own food here." So they swapped sandwiches. I was a fella sitting on his own. I went over to him and said, "How are you?" He said, "I'm very depressed." "So what's wrong with you?" He said, "I have no friends." Aww. I said, "Well, I better don't be mad. So I'll be your friend." I said, "What's more, I'll buy you a drink." He said, "Thanks." I said, "What do you have?" He said, "I'll have a double brandy." I said, "Jeez, no wonder you have no friends." This girl says, "You Sil Fox?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Yeah, I'm looking for a sugar daddy." I said, "You're too late." I says, "I'm a diabetic."
Noel Viginity is with us. Noel, how are you now? Just back from a world cruise.
Just back from world cruise. I was away there with Mike Denver and all them, for all the country singers to come here all the time, do they?
Yeah. They do, yeah.
I didn't hear one yodel. Not one yodel, I heard. Anyway, I started with nothing, and I still have most of it. Huh? Just when I got my head together, now my body's breaking up. It's all nonsense, isn't it? If God wanted me to touch my toes, he'd have put them on my knees. Huh? It's hard to make a comeback when you haven't been away. I haven't been any place. Doing nothing. This old man went to the doctor. The doctor says, "What's the matter with you?" The old man says, "I can't pee." The doctor says, "What age are you?" He says, "I'm 97. And I said, "You peed enough." Huh? I went to the doctor. I always go to a lady doctor in the evening. Her hands are always warmer. Yeah. She examined me, she gave me a box of pills. She said, "I want you to take one on the Tuesday, skip the Wednesday, take one on the Thursday, skip the Friday, take one on the Saturday, skip the Sunday, come back to see me Monday." I went back to see her last Monday, and she says, "How are you?" Well, I said, "The pills are doing me a world of good, but the skipping has me nearly killed." I decided there and then I'd go to a man doctor. I'd feel safer. But anyway, since Leo came out. But what I wonder is, what's in there? I'm going in to have a look. I just want to see why are they all coming out, right? I live in a one-bedroom flat. Maybe there's more room for me in there. Yeah. But I went to this man doctor anyway, and I thought his manner was a bit gruff. He said to me, "Take all your clothes off and put them over there beside mine." He pointed at a row of bottles at the top shelf. He says, I want a sample in that bottle. I says, from here. Yes, you don't know, do you? There's another man in there. I'm in the rooms now, you understand me? It's the doctor's room. There's another man in there with not a stitch of clothing on him. I says to him, I says, this is a funny doctor. I says, I come here with a sore throat. And he tells me to take all my clothes off and come in here. He goes, your man, you're lucky. He says, I'm only here to tune the piano.
Thank you.
No big entity. Conal Gallan is with us. He came all the way from where? Bundoran, Letterkenny?
From Ballybuffet.
Yeah, and you're still late.
I know, still late. I did a roundabout tour, but I got here. No, come here. What's your name again?
Claire Morris.
Claire Morris. Claire Morris. Claire Morris. No, but actually, I was listening to Taoiseach earlier on, and I must say fair dues to him, because I Joe, I don't tell political jokes.
Oh, I know that.
They usually get
you're
elected.
You're above politics, yeah.
But I'm not above it. No. But I was just saying, with all the stuff that's going on, and I'm sorry about that, Taoiseach, but all that stuff that's going on, the water tax and the LPT tax and the pensions and everything, and it all got to me. And I don't get angry, Joe. I write poetry, and I wrote a poem about the whole thing, because the thing that really got me was the septic tank. I thought. And I wrote it, I can't even remember the poem, but the last verse was all about the government. And they said they've lost the plot completely. They're taxing everything in sight. But I never thought I'd see the day when they'd start. No, I'm working on the last line. But politics. But politics is the same the world over. The politicians are the same the world over, because I've been reading about a small country in the Middle East. It's about the size of Ireland. I won't mention it because I have enough people after me. But I don't need a fatwa. But it's a small country, and like that, the politicians are all made up of very, very elite people. And there they have what we call the sheikhs. Not the sheikhs here, like we have the sheikhs, but you know the sheikhs, like, you know. The sheikh, the milkshake, the sheikh rattle, you know, all the sheikhs, the big boys. You don't know this, but over there they're actually not called sheikhs. The proper pronunciation is sheikhs. Sheikh is the proper pronunciation. And you know, they're big sheikhs and middling sized sheikhs, small. And the government is made up of all the biggest sheikhs in the country. And they are presided over by the biggest sheikh in the country. He would probably be known as the tea sheikh. But they have their meetings, they have their cabinet meetings every week, you see, and they all come along. And for some religious rule, they don't have them on the ground floor, they have them on the first floor. So they all come along. They don't come along in big Mercedes Benz, I mean, because for all their oil and everything, they all come around on donkeys, you know, on donkeys, the whole lot, or as we call them here, asses. So as you can imagine, you know, a big sheikh would have a big ass, and a small sheikh would have a small ass. There's some sheikhs over there, Joe, who has no ass at all, you know. But one day, this is true, one day they were having a meeting on the first floor, and the next thing there was a bomb scare at the door, and they all had to evacuate the building. So the only way to get out, they jump out the window, and each sheikh jumped out the window, landed in his big ass and rode away. And it all went well, it was all going well until it come the turn for the biggest sheikh, the tea sheikh, who had the biggest ass, and he jumped out and completely missed his ass altogether and landed on his elbow. He landed on his elbow, Joe, which just goes to show that politicians are the same the world over. A load of big shanks that doesn't know their ass from their elbow.
Conal Gallan. All objections to that joke to Conal Gallan. Where is it? Ballybuffet? Ballybuffet.
Dublin 4.
Doc Savage, Doc, how are you?
I'm just thinking, Joe, about the Operation Transformation. He's all watching that. Yeah. I heard him giving out about it yesterday. There's a fella next door to me. He's into this keep fit, act fit, think fit. And he's at this every day. Come here, he says to me, think fit, act fit, keep fit. And I met his wife till the day. So where is he? He said, he's in hospital. I said, what happened? He said, he had a fit. I sent him one day. He said, if you jog backwards, would you put on weight? Thinking. And it was just, I heard a story there a bit, but you know, a fella, three little boys in school talking. And one little boy said, my daddy's the fastest man in Ireland. He said he can throw the bullet out of a gun and catch the bullet before it hits the target, isn't that quick. And the second fellow said, my daddy's quicker than that. He's in the army. He can throw the bullet from a gun and catch the bullet before it comes out of the gun, isn't that quick. And the other fellow said, my daddy's quicker than that. He works for Mayo County Council. He's finished work at 5, he's home at 3. He won't get quicker than that. Great fun, isn't it? I'm just saying on the way down how cold it was. I was just thinking to myself here about how freezing cold it is. That it's so cold at the moment, the politicians are putting their hands in their own pockets. There's a fella in Mountjoy Jail in Dublin. He's in the cell, and he calls down the warder one day. He says to the warder, "I'm freezing cold in the cell." And the warder said, "Well, they're sticking another bar on for you." It's great fun, isn't it? 1979, what happened in Ireland? The Pope came to Ireland. You remember that far back, do you? They're talking about Pope Francis coming to Ireland next year. But in 1979, when the Pope was here, he was in the Mater Hospital, and he's going around the ward in the Mater Hospital. That was the good old days when the wards were open. Do you remember that? Yes, yes. When we had Irish nurses, remember that? And he went over to the fella in the bed, and there's a fella with a broken arm, and the Pope put his hand on him, cured him, miracle straight away. Fell in the next bed, broken leg, put his hand on him. Two miracles. And he's leaving the ward, there's a fella covered from head to toe in plaster, lying in the bed, and the Pope is heading to him. As he gets to the bed, the fella in the bed said to the Pope, he said, "Shag off, or they claim in."
Doc Savage. We're here in the MacWilliam Park Hotel. What's your own name, sir?
Matty Joe.
And where are you from, Matty?
Just out the road in Gary Moore, next door to Clamaris here, out the road. Three miles out the road.
And how come people like the Taoiseach keeps forgetting, he keeps calling Claremorris Castle Bar?
Well, of course, we all forget sometimes. With age, he's not him at all, you know, so he's bound to forget.
Okay, Matty, there's dinner for two in the... It's a wonderful restaurant here in the hotel. You won't have far to go. John Gray's restaurant here in the MacWilliam Park Hotel. And what's your own name, sir?
Gerhard.
Gerhard, where are you living, Gerhard?
Castlebar.
And where? What part of Claremorris were you born in, Gerhard?
In Vienna.
In Vienna?
Yeah.
And what brought you to Claremorris via Castlebar?
I won't say.
You're on webcam now. You will be identified, Gerhard. Are you on the run?
No.
How long have you been here?
15 years.
50?
15.
15. And you're happy in... settled?
Castlebar.
Yeah. Same as happiness equals, yeah. Castlebar.
Yeah.
And what do you do? Are you working or are you a craftsman or...?
I used to tile.
Used to what?
So it's a tiler.
A tiler?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. And is your second name Gerhard Tyler?
No.
But you're well settled?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're going up to the Herbert Park Hotel in Ballsbridge in Dublin for a one-night indulgence package.
Oh, thank you.
You have a fantastic... That's Gerhard from Vienna via Castle Bar here in Claremorris. She's also come down because she's a day off school, because it was a school trip to the Knock Shrine, and she slipped away from the school trip in Knock Shrine. Beautiful shrine is out there this morning. Fantastic. Great refurbishment going on. Jacinta O'Brien, what time are you due back on the bus home to Liberty?
Concepta Riley.
Oh, it's Concepta Riley. Where's Jacinta?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a miracle. Is it the Immaculate Concepta?
I don't know.
You've written a little thing on the bus on the way down.
Yeah.
You're very good.
No problem.
Concepta.
Give up your old sins.
Give up your old sins, as it is.
Every January, the people of the land got shocking sick with coughs and bad chests and all, because the winter was awful cold, and they all gathered to be seen by the healers, and they had to lie around the place on their trolleys until it was their turn, and the sick people shouted out to Leo the Likeable, whose job it was to look after them, but they had to shout very loud because he was miles away lapping up the sunshine. And some people said, "Bring back James the Bearded One," but the others cried out, "We're not that sick." But Leo addressed the people and said he was quite frankly sick of them being sick and lying around on trolleys, but he had good news for them and said things were going to get a whole lot worse before they got better. And with that, the sick people didn't know whether to cheer up or throw up. Then Leo the Likeable met the gorgeous Miriam of Montrose, who was blessed with everlasting youth, or else she had shocking good makeup. And Leo said he had a big announcement to make, and Miriam was getting all excited and couldn't wait. So Leo cleared his throat and announced to all the people that he was celebrating his birthday and he was 36. And Miriam nearly fell off her chair, and she might have said genuinely. Then she gave Leo a big hug, but she was a bit scarlet because she would have made him a sponge cake or a few fairy buns or something. But Leo seemed happy to get that off his chest, just like the sick people all coughing trying to get something off their chest. So Miriam took Leo for a walk through the land of Montrose, and sure, Leo was happy out. Now there was this woman called Lucinda, and she used to be one of Enda the Leader's disciples, but they had a shocking row. And Lucinda said she was going to be a leader in the temple herself one day, but she was having trouble finding people to lead. And she asked for the guidance from Eddie the Money Man. And he was great now at telling people how to invest their money, especially in things he wouldn't touch with a 40-foot pole. And some of the elders mocked Lucinda and asked, "Where are your followers?" And Lucinda said, "I seek out academics, health professionals, economists and small business people," which I suppose is anyone under 5'7". And the elder shouted, "You're looking in the wrong country." And again they mocked her, "You have no plans or policies. How can we take you seriously?" And with that, she ran off and wept bitterly into her skinny latte. Now, there was another woman from the land of Montrose called Marion, and she was like an apparition who only appeared at the weekends in a cloud of smoke. And didn't she announce she was getting married? And she wore a lovely black hat and a lace coat with a purple dress under it, very like the colours on a packet of Silkwood cigarettes. But she was gorgeous anyway. So that's the story of Lucinda and Marion. And as for Miriam and Leo, well, they were last seen skipping hand in hand through the land of Montrose singing, "Oh, happy day." Have a happy day.
Well done, Concepta, back on the bus to Dublin. We're here in the McWilliam Park Hotel in Claremorris, and we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you're very welcome back to Funny Friday here in Claremorris. There are two tickets for Lord of the Dance in the Three Arena in Dublin on Friday the 27th of March. It's a glorious weekend down here in Mayo. And we want to welcome, on his way home, I suspect, for a bit of rest and relaxation after a tough week, Uachtaráin na hÉireann. How are you, Uachtaráin?
I'm not upset. I'm a bit upset, but I'm mostly devastated.
And I believe you have a major announcement to make.
Yes, I have. I'm appointing a new head of security from Mayo. He's a former minister for justice, Pádraig Flynn.
And he's with you here, Pádraig.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I am. I am. I'm here in Claremorris, which is a satellite town of Castlebar in County Mayo, where I come from.
And Pádraig, what are you going to advise? What are you going to advise on security at the Auras?
Well, now, first of all, we're going to have two fighter jets sponsored by Air Finglas, flying over the Auras 24/7. And I have appointed now a special bodyguard for, of course, Uachtaráin Héireann, Katie Taylor. And as I know her, Tasty Taylor. And if he boxes clever, he can have him for the duration of the presidency.
And would you be advising the press, like, about bills and various other things, Pádraig?
Oh, yes. Of course I would. Why wouldn't I? Of course I would. I have told him now not to sign any bills. Especially now the likes of an ESB bill. An ESB bill came in to me and I didn't sign it. I sent it off to the Supreme Court or Airtricity or someone like that. And I remember another bill coming to me as Minister for Justice. Oh, yes. I'll never forget. And it was a bill from McDonald's drive-thru. And I referred it to Supermax. And when the chips were down, I paid it. And as far as the ESB bill, Dorothy says to me in Castlebar in one of my three houses, she said, "We better pay the ESB bill because you might end up watching TV by candlelight." Now,
what about Pádraig? Can I ask you, as a, you were a very progressive minister in your day. Same-sex marriage.
Oh, yes.
The referendum.
The same-sex marriage.
The people in Mayo especially will be waiting for your opinion. They'd be hanging on your every word.
Of course they will, because I am Pádraic the Supreme. Now, I want to say about, you know, the same-sex marriage. As the self-proclaimed, self-professed Messiah, I'll be presiding over the first same-sex marriage in County Mayo in about April 2016, or thereabouts. The marriage of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Now, it'll take place in the Church of the Holy Rosary in Castlebar and County Mayo, where I have preached many sermons in my time to my flock. And picture it. Into the bride, you're late by the way, into the bride, and Micheál the groom will be saying, I do, after over 90 years of civil war between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And Andy wants to be a radiant bride, Joe. Oh, yes. And it's not widely known, but he's going to have a little bit of cosmetic surgery done for the big day. Now, for the last few months, he's had a little thorn in his side called Joan Burton. And he's going to have that removed for the big day.
But, I mean, this, the same-sex marriage between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that'll come as a shock to so many people. I mean, the bridal party that will make up the new cabinet in 2016 has not been picked.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The chief bridesmaid will be Michael Ring. Michelle Ring. Oh, yes. No doubt about it. He's a class act. Very popular bridesmaid here in County Mayo. Another bridesmaid will be Groucho Marx of Fianna Fáil, Dilly O'Wee. If we can get him to shave the yard brush from under his nose, of course. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Now, this marriage might need a few independents to keep it stable. So the next bridesmaid is Michael Lowry.
Michael Lowry? Sure, that's a very unusual choice, if you don't mind me saying so.
Well, now, she's bright and intelligent, and she's not bad-looking either.
What about, like, this big wedding, a menu, entertainment, music, after-dinner speech?
Oh, yes. The menu hasn't been finalised yet, but we are quite certain that the Fianna Fáil contingent will be eating humble pie for about the next 5 years. That's the first thing. Now, we have booked the band, and we left that job to Leo Varadkar, and it's a 1970s band with a kind of a Scottish sling to it, so it is the Gay City Rollers. Bear me, oh, yes.
But, Cork, the honeymoon, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and the Micheál, the big question on everyone's lips about the honeymoon is, where will it be?
Well, we have employed the Meryl Streep of Fine Gael, Miss Out of Africa, Michelle Mulhern, to look after that. Now, hold on a minute now. She has organised the honeymoon, and Andy and Michael are going to see the Grand Canyon. Now, not the Grand Canyon, the Grand Canyon. And it'll be a lovely honeymoon in Africa, and I've no doubt that it'll be a great union.
Okay, well done, Pádraic. Thanks very much for joining us. Go ahead, Sil. Yeah, Sil, you were saying, Sil Fox.
You can always tell a French girl, you can always tell a Swiss. You can tell a girl from Sweden by the way she's learned to kiss. You can tell a senorita, you can tell a girl who's Dutch. You can tell a girl from Mayo, but be jeez, you can't tell her much. My friend Charlie.
We're joined, Mary O'Rourke is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't she looking, as Michael Lowry said, Larry would say, she's looking fantastic.
Mary, thank you, Mary, so much, thank you.
You floated in here to the MacWilliam Park Hotel.
I did. I floated in yesterday.
You were waving, and you showed me a note you got from Michael Lowry.
Well, Joe, there you go. It just said I blushed. I was flushed. I was just listen. It said, "Keep it going, gorgeous." You know, looking well. Love the outfit. Love the hair. Not a bad bottom either.
So that's from Michael Lowry.
I thought it was great until I saw that he'd addressed it to Leo Varadkar. So So I pulled myself together, Joe, and I went to a hotel reception, and there was a man in front of me at hotel reception in his pyjamas, and he's giving out to the receptionist. He said, can I have the room to, or the key to room 325? She said, it's occupied. He said, no, no, it's not. He said, it is occupied. She said, I'm looking at the screen here. She said, 325 is occupied by Mr. Murphy. He said, I'm Mr. Murphy. I fell out the window. Can I have the key? So I said, listen, you wouldn't have a hairdresser on you know. So
on
she said,
site,
Clive,
yeah.
Clive, go down to Clive. Okay. So I went down to Clive. Is a lovely man, I have to say. So I said, Clive, I said, here I am. Do something for me. I said, I'm doing Joe Duffy tomorrow. I said, I'm doing the radio tomorrow. I said, Clive, transform me. He said, well, you know now we close at 6.
It's just...
I said, have you any old special offer going that you do for me for tomorrow, you know, it being the last Friday of the month? He said, we have, Mary, but it's not everybody the Brazilian will suit. So I said, well, look, leave me as I am. I just go down as I am. So here I am, Joe, and I'm all ready for, you know, let's have fun.
The action, yeah, yeah. You're looking. I know we're not supposed to say it's not PC, but Mary, you've come across the Shannon,
yes,
and you've once famously told Pádraig Flynn, P. Flynn, to what was the phrase that she, Mary O'Rourke, used to your Pádraig?
It was unparliamentary language, I must say. And there's an opportunity for us to kiss and make up and to go on a tour of Mayo to kiss and make up. So now, Mary, I'd avail of it. It won't come round too often.
Well,
are you open to that offer, Mary?
I am. In fact, it's been done, Joe, because last night I can announce now, P. Flynn kissed me on both cheeks.
Oh, fantastic. And what were you doing at the time?
I was picking up my handbag. Enough said. I said, there's no need. We won't go further with that. That's just between you and me and Otis.
Otis is the name of the... Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Otis regret.
Noel Viginity, how are you, Noel? You're
not too bad. I'm barely over the Christmas.
Yes.
I'm barely over the... I was out to buy the Christmas tree and I bought it and the fella says, are you going to put it up yourself? And I says, no, I'll try it in the front room. Did you all get that? Was that a bit too clever for you? But that's it, you know, as you're getting older, at first you believe in Santa Claus, then you don't believe in Santa Claus, and then you are Santa Claus. That's the way it goes. I'm old, yeah. You just discovered bones on the moon there. Scientists
that,
at Trinity College discovered bones on the moon, and they have discovered that the cow didn't make it. I was in the bar there last night. We were in there late because Joe was doing card tricks and
cartwheels
and handstands. But there was a man and a woman, and they were getting ready to go up to the room, and she says, I'll put a call in for 6. And he says, why would you do that? There's only 2 of us. Did you get that? We'll put a call in for 6. There's only 2 of us, you know. Anyway, that's the way life is. People live together. People get married here. People talking about people being married here, and they live together for 50 years and they have a lovely life, and that's fair enough. And then you have people who live together for 50 years, but for the last 30 years they haven't spoken to each other. But they're in the same house and they ate the same breakfast off the same table, but they never crossed words, never crossed, they never speak to each other. It's like a broken television. Vision, no sound, you know. And then when one of them dies, the other is in uncontrolled grief. If I could only hear him speaking. If I could just hear his words. So then she tries to contact him in the spirit world. She's in the kitchen with the Ouija board and the breadboard. And she's trying to get in contact with him. Can you hear me, Arthur? Can you hear me, Arthur? Oh, I can hear you, Mildred. I can hear you. She says, Arthur, where are you? Oh, he says, I'm in the new world now. Are you happy? Oh, he says, I'm having a fantastic time. He says, I'm flying around every day I'm flying here. I'm flying, she says, when you were with me, I couldn't get you up on a plane. Oh, he says, I'm flying here, flying there. He says, I'm swimming every day, morning, noon, and night. She says, when you were with me, I couldn't get you to take a bath. He says, I have a different partner every night. She says, after 2 years with me, you were sick of me. He says, I know, but I wasn't a duck then.
Conal Gallagher, Conal, I can tell you it's now, 20 past two. The phone call's complaining about the first gags have just finished, so you can move on.
I gotta go again.
Move on.
I was just a Noel there checking into the hotel. And he's checked into a hotel one night, and he goes up to the reception, and the receptionist does all the work on the computer, and she gives him the key. She says, you're in room 501, it's on the fifth floor, lifts her in the corner, enjoy your stay. So your man takes his bag into the lift, up to the fifth floor, goes in the door 501, which is there's two in the room, in the bed, at the carry-on. I asked a woman one night, I said, what did you call it? She says, a distant memory. But so your man closed the door. He said, I'm very, very sorry. And he excused himself back down to the reception. He says, I'm sorry, I think he gave me the wrong room. He says, there's two already in 501. Oh, she's very sorry. Tapped up on the computer again. She says, there you are, room 425. She says, it's fourth floor, enjoy your stay. Your boy goes up on the lift again, opens the door 425, and goes in, two more in the bed in there. So he reverses out again, and he goes back down. He says, what's going on here? Well, she says, the first room, he says, that was the manager and his secretary. He says, the second is probably the chef and one of the waiters. They're all at it around here all the time. She says, oh, there. Not this hotel, different hotel. And so he says, I'll get you another room. He says, forget it. He says, forget it. He says, I'll get another hotel. And then he lifts his bag and he walked out onto the street. He just got out onto the footpath, and the first thing he meets is two dogs on the footpath. And they're at it. So he put down the bag, he lifted up the two dogs, and he carried them back into the hotel. And he put them up on the top of the desk, and the young woman, the receptionist, looks up. She says, what's this? He says, your sign fell down.
Brilliant, brilliant. By the way, there's two tickets to Conal Gallagher's comedy play, A Bit on the Side, in the Royal Theatre, Castlebar. It's on tomorrow night. If you can't go, you're very lucky. If you can't go to Conal Gallagher's A Little Bit on the Side in the Royal Theatre, Castlebar tomorrow night, pass it on to a friend there. You know what I mean? There's bound to be someone hard enough up in the audience that can't find anything else to do tomorrow night. Doc.
I'm just thinking there about you talked to the lads there, but there's an old man sitting in the footpath. He was crying one afternoon, sitting in the footpath crying. And a fella and said, what are you crying for? And he said, I'm 93 years of age and I'm married to a blonde at 21. He said, and every morning I get up and said, she wants to make love to me twice before lunch, twice after lunch, twice before tea, and twice to go to bed. And he said, what are you crying for? He said, I can't remember where I live.
Okay. There, let me go down into the crowd here. Well, there you are, you're waving. What's your own name?
Susan Fahey.
And where are you from, Susan?
Irish town. Claire Morris.
Claire Morris, isn't it? And you're going to Mark Knopfler in the Three Arena on Friday, the 15th of May. Head start now because I hear the weather's terrible. 15th of May, and there, who's that lady there in the lovely green top? Neil Diamond. Would you be a fan of Neil Diamond? Yeah, he speaks very highly of you too. He's in the Three Arena on Friday, the 3rd of July. That's very good. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Joe Higgins is with us. Joe, how are you? Joe, how are you keeping?
Very good, Joe.
Yeah.
Very good.
You've been asked all week about Paul Morphy and condemning Paul Morphy, or asked what do you think of Paul Morphy, and I'm saying that the president is a legitimate target for protest.
I don't want to discuss the president. I believe it's out of order, but I think there's a popular misconception that Paul Morphy and myself share political philosophies.
You do. You're the socialist party.
But Paul Morphy is a Bolshevik Trotskyite Stalinist. And I'm, I'll check here, Joe. I'm a Taoist, Leninist, and best friends with Che Guevara on Facebook.
But there are five members. They're not five members of the socialist. Is Paul Morphy not a comrade?
There are five socialist parties now.
Oh, are there? Sorry.
In the back benches, Joe.
But no, there's only 40.
Only four members. Only 40. So, if you're confused, Joe, just imagine how I feel. I'm stuck in the middle of them.
Why are there four different socialist parties?
Well, very simply, Joe, in the Irish political system, the first item on the agenda, as Lucinda will shortly find out, is the first item on the agenda of a newly formed party is the split. So,
but five socialist parties.
So five parties, four members.
And what does that mean at the end of the day for the leaders?
A great deal of confusion. But immense hope for the people.
And the question you asked, you were brilliant. Can I say that, Joe Higgins, at the banking inquiry, you were the Perry Mason, your questions were forensic. The question you asked the governor of the central bank, Patrick Onan, you did.
I asked him a very concise, very cogent and very, I thought, pithy question, to use one of your own words. And I asked him very, very simply if he'd agree that the crisis, the financial crisis, was caused by a conspiracy of the multinational corporations allied to the transnational financial predators, who were, together with the morally bankrupt reactionary forces now controlling the financial system, with the help of the austerity-obsessed right-wing European governments, who are now controlling the global financial system. I simply asked him that question.
And what was his answer?
Yes. So on foot of that show, I invited Patrick Honan to be the fifth member of the socialist group. And he's gladly agreed to accept. I'm sorry for the interruption there.
Okay,
Count Corla.
Thanks, Joe. And what do you think of the abuse? The Count Corla is very upset, Joe.
Well, you'd
very
be well...
upset. You heard him on the radio this morning.
I didn't actually, Joe.
Close to tears.
I was rehearsing, you know.
Close to tears. Yeah. You're rehearsing for something else.
If you weren't getting as big a fee as I'm getting here, Joe, you wouldn't be slacking either. I was rehearsing for this. I didn't hear him, Joe, but the man is being severely put upon. You must know yourself about what that feels like, Joe, to be severely put upon. So I leave you off to the next item, and I have to go and count the socialists, Joe, yeah, one more time.
Now for a bit of music. Declan O'Brien has written a little ditty. I thought, is it fair to call this music? It's called My Irish Trolley O.
We think
and
so.
And watch, we'll all climb slowly, like going up Crow Patrick, as we try and get to the high notes with Declan, okay? Are you ready? Have you ever been to the height, to the top of Crow Patrick? Well, neither has Declan.
This old woman, she was taken ill. Oh, she was in agony. So they rushed her off by ambulance to the A&E. They wheeled her in and said to them, this woman needs a bed. But they smiled and said there wasn't one. But guess what they had instead? A trolley. You've got a trolley out in the corridor. In fact, you are quite lucky. It's not a mattress upon the floor. Guard it with your life, though. It's a precious commodity. If you make tracks go to the jacks, it might be gone when you come back. Someone's on your trolley, oh. And looking around the A&E all day and all night long, this scene was like the aftermath of the Battle of the Somme, with patients left in wheelchairs or stretched across two chairs, which makes you think that they were right, that the lucky ones were where? On a trolley. They had a trolley. Not such a bad place then after all, for they could be on a pallet in a storeroom down the hall, or in the disabled toilets. At least you could have a shower. You forget your pain and won't complain. Make sure you'll not come back again to end up on a trolley, oh. Sad verse now. 3 days they had come and gone. The poor woman was bemused. Whatever about her bowels, but her trolley hadn't moved. If I wasn't in such pain, she said, all I could do is laugh. I'm in the A&E that long, they think I'm on the staff. On my trolley, my lovely trolley, no sign yet of a ward. There's no space for any more, so they've had to put them in the morgue or else out in the laundry, where they'll be hung out to dry like peas in a pod. The poor old salt wait for someone to pop their clogs to get off their trolley. Oh, like peas in a pod, the poor old sods wait for someone to pop their clogs to get off their trolley. Oh, hey!
What's your own? That's Declan O'Brien. What's your own name?
Colette from Westport.
And your second name, Colette?
Colette Lavelle. Can I say hello to my daughter and Luke, and she's listening today, Karen Quinn, and she's expecting a baby next Wednesday. So she might go into labour after listening to this.
Well, there's not many people going into labour today. They're all leaving labour. And is this our first?
Yes, our first, yeah. And this is her mother-in-law here beside me, Teresa.
Yeah. Teresa. And is it your first grandchild?
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's fantastic. And when did the two of you get married? Is the same time? You're very progressive here. You got married, the two of you. Well, would the two of you go? You don't have to, but we can raffle this between you. And best of luck now on Wednesday, please. God. Ronan Collins became a grandfather the other day. I tell you, he's floating on air. He said it on the radio. I hope he said it on the radio. His daughter Lisa had a gorgeous baby boy, Caleb, and Ronan is—he's over the moon. He really is. Two nights for two, B&B, and a gourmet dinner in the Renville House Hotel in Galway. There you are, for the two mothers-in-law. Okay, we're in Claire Morris, and we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're here in Clare Morris in Mayo. Joe Brody has called in. He wants to give the Mayo team some advice. Might see them in Dublin on the third Sunday in September. Joe, what do you think? What advice would you give Mayo?
I'd say they're going to be there because Mayo always appear in Dublin. And we've always, if we don't come first, we'll come second, Joe. But I came here, Joe, I didn't come here to talk about football. I came here to talk about same sex. Sure, it's been going on in Mayo for years. You know, couples have been having the same sex for years. So we're ahead of the country, so we are. And I talked to a fellow friend of mine, and I says, do you talk to your wife when you're making love to her? And he says, no, unless there's a phone nearby.
Colin O'Rourke is with us as well. Colin, what advice would you give Mayo?
Well, the first thing that I'd like to say is that as far as I'm concerned, I need to get a few Mead girls down here to Mayo, and I might make a few footballers out of them. I was the best looking footballer that ever came out of Mead, and I always played my football in a very manly way. And if Mayo get to an All-Ireland, all I can say is if they don't, again, you know, they'll probably win it eventually if they don't draw or lose.
Brian Kerber. Brian Kerr, I know you're a soccer man, but you had great success with other obscure teams like Mayo, Faroe Islands. Would you give any advice to Mayo?
Yeah, I think the Faroe Islands are a great place to be. You know, the Faroe Islands, you know, they produce great players, fairy liquid and everything like that. And I'd like to go back to the Faroe Islands because you get a great load of money and you're doing nothing, so you know, you're here in Ireland and you're working your ass off and you can get nothing, so you can't. You're on Jawbridge or something like that.
Eamon Dunphy wasn't a big fan of your carry-on, Brian, was he? He wasn't very a big, that's the wrong word, of your managerial style. Eamon.
Hold on a weekend, Eamon. Hold on a weekend, I'm fine.
We didn't know you were talking to Dad. I think that you end up, Joe, talking to yourself half the time. So yeah. Because you're the only one that listens to yourself. And you're right. Brian Kerr is a fraud, he's a fool, and he's now a football man. I am a football man because I'm good looking. The greatest footballer ever I came across was the great Diego Marijuana.
With me, Halim Marahertigira Vihil.
How are you? Come over here now because I cannot read your script for you. Now you're at top of the page there.
Welcome
yes.
to Mayo. Welcome to Funny Friday.
Yes.
Still the quiet season for football and hurling, but you look. I can't read your handwriting. Can you look exceptionally well. And some of the things, I know you took exception because I read this in the Kerry Man. You took some exception to some of the things the Pope said last week on his way back from Manila. You didn't, yeah, and you don't normally comment on paper.
That's
matters.
A long question.
Yeah, and you wrote it.
I didn't write it that long. I'm a slow writer.
Joe Higgins wrote it.
He did. That'll be a yacht. Now, Joe, you don't realise that I'm the spiritual, the charismatic, the religious leader of the GAA. Crow Park is the Vatican of the GAA. It's my headquarters. And, you know, what matters in GAA is, you know, I am God. I am inflatable. I am the divine authority. It wouldn't surprise me if I'm canonized in the next year or two. I'm immortal, you know, and if I pass away, I'll probably rise after the third day if it's good weather.
Would you take? Well, Micheál Murhard, you take issue with references that I said Micheál Murhard, in case people didn't know who you're impersonating,
right.
Frank.
Yeah.
Micheál, you take issue with references that the Pope made in relation to couples breeding like rabbits and the contraception. I mean, 60 or 70 years ago, families were very big. Hasn't the Holy Father got a point?
You're right. Families were very big. I remember a family in West Kerry, there was about 29 children. That family was that big, the youngest child and the oldest child were distant relatives. People were very innocent, you know. You know, a couple might have 23, 24 children before they'd find out what was causing it. The reference to breeding like rabbits was unfortunate at Joseph. For example, Pat Rabbit, the former minister, he was very put out. He's so upset he's developed myxomatosis.
But back in those days, Micheál, having small families was a heard of couples practice, natural methods of family planning, which ended up with large families.
I hate to contracept you now, Joe. But there's a few methods of contradiction Irish style. For example, when the man at the house had come home after the pub, the wife, there'd be a verbal form of contraception. She'd say, "Turn into the wall, Johnny, and go to sleep and no old tomfoolery out of you." Now, Joe, you have to understand they were very simple days. For example, now back in the 40s, an Irishman's definition of foreplay will be, "Will I pull the curtains, Nora?" Now, Viagra was unheard of. Nowadays, Viagra, it's essential if you were going on the honeymoon night, you know, Joe, in case there'd be extra time. Or there might be a replay the following night, you know, like that. The mothers of Ireland, you know, they preached contraception before they'd let their daughters out to a dance. The last thing the mother would say to the daughter before she'd go to the dance is, "Mind yourself." You know what I mean? There has been a monetary form of contraception. Did you know that, Joe? Back in those days, the girls holding the half a crown between their knees for the night. Now, a half a crown was big money and you wouldn't like to lose it among anything else.
Back in those days, was there any form of male contraception? Can I ask? Can I be so bold to ask
you
that question?
You're bold anyway, so you are. Not until the 1960s, Joe. The first time I heard them referred to in West Kerry, you know, there was a girl home from New York. Now, she wasn't backward at coming forward. Now, this girl was never married, but she was never neglected either. Now, she went to the dance one night and she met a small farmer, 5'4½". And at the end of the night, she asked him a strange question. She asked him, would he have a French letter? Now, he says, "What would I be doing with a French letter? I can hardly read the farmer's journal." Now, in those days, Joseph, do you know then in those days, a French letter became locally known below in West Kerry as a jacket for Josie. And that's how innocent times were. I heard of a couple one night, they were on their honeymoon, Joe, this is true, they were in the bridal suite. He went into the bathroom to get ready for the main event of the evening, and when he came out, she was sitting on the side of the bed with her hat, coat, scarf and gloves on her. He said to her in amazement, "Are you not going to bed?" She looked at him and said, "The last thing that Mammy warned me this morning before I left the house, that you'd probably go to town on me tonight, and if you do, I'm going to be with you." That's how innocent times were.
Frank, come back. Frank, because we're in Frank's home county, Frank Ford, who are you?
I don't know the heck who I am.
And what do you do in real life, people want to know?
As little as possible, isn't? Same as all the rest of the people in Mayo. Very, very little.
But you used to work for Mayo County Council.
I was employed anyways, and Jerry Costello was my boss over there, the fella in the gear of the shirt. You'd see more fat on a butcher's apron, look at him.
That's Frank Ford, one of your own country men, county men. There's a Herbert Park Hotel, Bald's Bridge. What's your own name?
Marguerite Scott.
And where are you from, Marguerite?
I'm originally from Milebush, a neighbour of Frank's.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm living in Cork now.
And do you know Frank Ford?
Yes.
So I can't give you a weekend because we're not allowed under the BAI rule to give out prizes to anybody. We were brought up before a high court, you know. But anyway, okay. Pretend you don't. Say you know him, but you don't like him.
I know him, but I don't like him.
Okay.
Really.
You're going to the Herbert Park Hotel in Bald's Bridge. Fabulous Friday packed in deluxe room, chilled bottle of Prosecco, breakfast and pavilion restaurant. Well done, Marguerite. Okay, we're here in Clare Morris. We're here in Clare Morris, as Frank Ford said, a suburb of Castlebar. Don't say that. You're here in Clare Morris. Wonderful Clare Morris. Thank you so much for the welcome. We'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
It's been a busy day. We're here in the MacWilliam Park Hotel in Clare Morris. It's been a busy day. We just heard in the Dáil, Count Carl are very upset with what's going on. We'll go over now to the Dáil Bar. Pretend you're all in the Dáil Bar. The pint here is 480, it's 240 in the Dáil Bar, but pretend you're in the Dáil Bar. Is that Mary O'Rourke I hear?
Psst.
Is that Mary O'Rourke?
Willie.
Willie O'D I hear?
Jeez, Mary, you put the class plays in me there. I was reading Eamon O'Keefe's new document there about securing the future of Fianna Fáil.
What's it called? Don't tell me. The survival of the shiftiest. Are you right there, Michael? Are you right? And do you think that we'll be gone before the night? Well, it all depends on whether the old party holds together and if anybody even gives a shite.
It's not funny, Mary. The natural party of government has become. We're stuck on 18% in the polls. Mary, we need some drastic remedies.
Well, what about going anti-austerity, Willie? I mean, we could go like the Greeks, start burning our bras and our mercs on the streets.
So, Mary, so half the doll is anti-austerity. We need something distinctive, a unique selling point. I mean, I think we need to return to Fianna Fáil's core values.
The old brown envelope, Willie.
Stop it, Mary, stop it. I'm talking about openness, transparency, and the ad backhandle.
Oh, the people would love us for that. Willie, bring them all back. Ray Burke, Des Traynor, and Ivor Callaly. P. Finn and Bertie, let's not forget Charlie.
Look at Mary, if we don't do something quick, the party's going down the toilet. We're in the middle of the worst recession in the history of the state. Look at them here, half the country's going around with an arse in their trousers. The main opposition party should be soaring in the polls, and instead the blue shirts are going up and we are disappearing faster than the findings of the Mahon Tribunal.
Look, I know things are dreadful, Willie. I know people around the country are desperate. Look, I'm finding it hard to make ends meet myself, and you know, I mean, look at me on a pension.
Pensions, Mary, pensions.
All right, whatever, pensions. But look, my chest is destroyed from smoking those cheap imported cigarettes. I mean, would you look at the ladders in my tights, for God's sake? And the last night that I had a decent night out that I can remember was in the Ard an Lán, actually.
Jesus, Mary, don't mention the Ard an Lán. Not on national radio, for feck's sake.
Well, look, do you think I don't know how things bad are? Look, I'm stuck at home watching Netflix. That's your life.
That's me, Willie. Mary, sorry. Do you think I don't know how bad things are? I'm stuck at home watching, what is it again, Mary? Netflix. And drinking cans of Dutch Gold. And the wife is complaining she can't afford to go down to the chipper. The bit I don't understand is, while all this going on, Fianna Fáil are flying. How the hell are they doing it? I mean, Fianna Gael, Jesus.
One word, Willie. Leo, Willie. Leo, all this rise up in the polls started with Leo and his coming out.
Jesus, Mary, you're not suggesting I turn gay at this hour of my life. You know me, I die for Fianna Fáil, but turning gay at this hour of my life, I couldn't do it, Mary.
I think you'd be doing everybody a favour there, Willie. No, no, you won't have to. You won't have to be, well, not totally, teetotally gay. Just maybe gay at the weekends when they're busy. Just look, just head down to the panty bar a couple of nights a week. It's doing end to no harm.
I'm too old, Mary. I'm gone beyond it.
Look, Willie, I'm telling you, focus groups, all the focus groups are saying it.
Saying what?
LBGT. It's so Fianna Fáil. It's the new buzzword, LBGT.
What does it mean, Mary, LBGT?
Let's bring back the good times. Do you remember? Bringing on back the good times. This is no joke. It's time for Bing Bing Dr. Stroke. If you're bringing on back the good times, if your back's to the wall, you should vote Fianna Fáil. Bringing on back the good times. This is no joke. It's just time for a stroke. And the last verse, bringing on back the good times. If your back's to the wall, you should vote Fianna Fáil.
That's Frank Toomey and Paddy O'Callaghan. There's two tickets to Lord of the Dance in the Three Arena on Saturday, 20 March. There's tickets for the Herbert Park Hotel in Baldsbridge, one nice B&B deluxe room, and a drink on arrival. Now, maybe it's due to Strictly Come Dancing on the telly. Latin rhythms, as you know, are all to go at the moment. Salsas, cha-chas, rumbas, tangos, curly-whirlies, whispers, flay. But ladies, you don't have to go to Argentina or Brazil to find hot Latin lovers. North County Wicklow is the place to go if you're looking for a bit of fire in your torso. Would you please welcome the man who has the local branch of the Irish Country Women's Association breaking out in a hot sweat, Mr. Sticky Parton, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, here we go. You got it. Come on, let me hear you, boy. Oh, you boy. Now you're sucking diesel, huh? Oh, you boy. Forget the city slickers. Wicklow's the only way. Women wear bigger knickers. The lads all smell of hay. We guarantee good service, right here the men are men. What's more, the sheep are nervous when they are in their pen. Dive in the lakes of Blessington, we go swimming in the Nip. Instead of using shower gel, we use the owl sheep dip. Boys, we like to let it rip, come on, up and down the mountain. Living in Pula Vuca, life is really savage, living in Pula Vuca. Hunting day and night, firing me big bazooka. Eating spuds and cabbage, living in Pula Vuca. Living in Pula Vuca. Living in Pula Vuca. Oh, yeah, fire. Oh, because, Mrs. AC, you've got a good milk quota on you there, huh? Oh. At weekend we are boppers, to Dublin we are cess. Chase nurses down in coppers, hormones and lots of sweat. There's one I'd like to get her, big boned and massive thighs. She could kickstart me zesser, me dreams I'd realise. I'll take her home to mother, who would recognise good stuff. Cause she's a backside like no other. It's the size of Glendalough. Oh, big ups, I am in shock. Come on! Up and down the mountain. Living in Pula Vuca. Life is really savage. Living in Pula Vuca. Hunting day and night. Firing me big bazooka. Eating spuds and cabbage. Living in Pula Vuca. Living in Pula Vuca. Living in Pula Vuca. Living, living, living in Pula Vuca. Come and live in Pula Vuca. Come and live in Pula Vuca.
June Rogers. And by the way, there is a merry month of June this year. June is on a summer tour again, the Cork Opera House, Wexford, the Gaiety in Dublin for a week between the 50th and the 20th. John Carlos, you've been very, very enthusiastic about running through a few verses of a poem before I take a break. You're based here in Mayo, John.
I am. I'm from Claremorris, yes. Okay.
Just off you go.
This poem is called The Family Seat.
I want you to amalgamate the speed of Marty Morrissey and Dave Fanning.
I'll do my best.
Fair play, John.
I place my name before you this afternoon in this fine hall to seek your number one vote in the forthcoming election. As you know, I was co-opted 2 years ago to the council on the sudden death of my late father, the Lord have mercy on him. And he was a county councillor for this fine county for 43 years. And he won his seat from his father, who won it in a by-election caused by the untimely sudden death of his late uncle. God rest them all. We were councillors in this family since before the foundation of this great state, before the invasion of the British, before the Vikings. We were here proudly sitting in the council chamber before the invasion of the Tuatha De Danann, before the Filburgs. Indeed, it is a little known fact that a descendant of mine presented St. Patrick, the Lord of Mercynham, with the keys of Croagh-Patrick back in 1758. We still have the picture somewhere. And like all my forefathers before me, I am a politician of the people, by the people and for the people. I am the county councillor who removes his own posters from the polls the minute the returning officer alights down from his podium and stores them in the hayshed for the next election. I am the county councillor who puts the name of his party at the bottom of the poster so I can cut it off if I have to change colours for the next election or in the middle of this one. Now, if you'll excuse me, and I know you will in the circumstances, I must take my leave of you to attend three fantastic funerals across this fine constituency this very evening, a constituency that runs from Killala to Kenya. Goramila Mahagav Galeir, August Quigley Alumsa, our law and Tawakon.
Goramahaga, John Carlos, we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
As we come to a clear, Shane Ross has popped in. You're going to your country home in Mayo, your holiday home. Shane, how are you?
One of my country homes.
Any word any word on the formation of the party?
We have now the prospects of forming, there'll be 47 parties in the upcoming Dáil. 47 at last count.
But you'll still keep your column in the Sunday Inn, though?
Absolutely.
Well, and will you change now that you've a new editor? Are you forced to change? Or
Leopard never changes spot.
Never. Sil Fox, you have a gag there,
yeah,
Sil.
I have. Yeah, Charlie was over in London and he sees these pills, makes you feel younger. So he sent them back to his mother. So he said he'd be home in 2 months. So he only came home in 2 months. There was this blonde at the airport with a pram, and he couldn't find his mother. Eventually, she came over to him. She, hello. He said, who are you? She said, I'm your mother. Those tablets, fantastic, make you feel younger. I can't believe it, he says. Where's the baby come from? She said, that's your father, he's hooked too.
Your father took. Noel V. Guinity.
Yeah. Listening to Frank talking about all the condom jokes reminded me of a joke that two ducks arrived here on a bit of a weekend, and the Drake realised he didn't bring the condom, so he rang down the reception. He says, I have a bit of a problem here. He says, I came away for the weekend. He says, I didn't bring the condoms. And he rang down the reception and he said, do you have any condoms? The manager says, well, we have packages of 6 and 12. Well, he says, give me a packet of 6, that'll be good. He says, well, I put them on your bill. He said, do you think I'm a pervert?
It's goodbye from the McWilliam Park Hotel here in Claremorris. Funny Friday crew with Ivan McKenna on keyboards, Pat O'Carney and Andrew Kane on sound, researchers Rona Lawler and Nicolette Lennox, and the producers Angus McNally and the series producer Siobhan Hawk are all with us today. And also thanks indeed to George Hunter, who's helping us tremendously. Goodbye from Claremorris. And next, it's the Marty Party from Studio One.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.